You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. Buck, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. Thursday night football on tap. We got a great football weekend, college and pro. Man, it's bananas. It's a great time of year.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to check us out tonight. If you're listening to this before the Thursday night football game, go come hang with us. It's Bucky, Joy Taylor, myself, and we hang out, and you can find it. You can watch us and listen to us, and you can find that. It is twitch.tv/movethesticks. So twitch.tv/movethesticks. Come hang out with us. The cool part about it is there's a chat that's open, and like we'll interact with the chat throughout the whole game. So it's a lot of fun. It'd be fun to have more kind of from the Move the Sticks podcast audience come in there and hang out with us for the evening. It's a good time.
It is always a good time. I enjoy doing it with you and Joy, but also just the games have been fantastic. And then the interactions with the people. I think that is always the best part of it. Just the interactions, the conversations that we have on Twitter and Twitch, I think it just makes it a really fun experience.
All right. So we've got a awesome coach interview coming up later in this episode today. Coastal Carolina head coach Jamie Chadwell is going to join us. He's got them 6-0 right now. They're ranked number 15 in the country. And I think he's starting to get a lot of buzz as somebody who is really a rising star in the coaching profession. He's a brilliant guy who's got a great take on things. So we have a conversation with him coming up a little bit later on. We're going to talk a little bit about Tom Brady and just how well he's playing. Is it going a little bit under the radar? And from a personnel standpoint, what can Jason Light and the Buccaneers do to make this a Brady-friendly environment to maybe they get him to, who knows, maybe they get him to age 50 the way he's playing at an MVP level right now. But how can they sustain that? What can they do from a roster-building standpoint to keep that rolling? But I want to start off, Buck, with this is a tweet that I lobbed out, and I did not think it would get this type of traction. It was just a curiosity tweet, right? So a buddy of mine in the league said, hey, do you think anybody would give up a first round pick for Justin Tucker? Obviously, in the wake of all these missed field goals that cost teams games, do you think anybody would give up a first round pick for Justin Tucker? And if so, how many teams do you think would do it? So I lobbed out that tweet. Gosh, it's got a ton of responses, almost like 1,000 replies on that, with people lobbing their opinions. And as expected, the analytic friendly group said, absolutely not. You cannot. There's a positional value. You don't give up a first round pick for a kicker. And so that was to be expected. But there's some football people, and maybe some people laugh at this, that said, no, absolutely, I would do it. You know, when you look at, if, and not saying a top 10 pick, but if you're a team that's going to be a playoff team and you're picking towards the back end of the first round, and you were, you know, maybe if Justin Tucker was 26 versus maybe, 31, but the way he takes care of himself, I got to believe he could kick for another 8 to 10 years easy. I mean, Vinatieri was kicking into his mid 40s.
Mm-hmm. DJ, here's the thing. And look, man, I am fortunate enough that I played for the Raiders, and the Raiders took Seabass in the first round, Sebastian Janikowski, who played 17 years in the league. Here's what I would say the difference is in terms of drafting a kicker in the first round versus taking a proven kicker in Justin Tucker. I know exactly what I'm getting from Justin Tucker. And I think kickers get a bad rap in terms of their value to the team. But DJ, if you check the stats on every team, the leading scorer is typically the kicker. Mm-hmm. And in a game in which points are coveted at a premium, I want point scorers. Guys who score points have more value. We talk about that when we look at playmakers on the outside. There's something different to someone who can deliver explosive plays and score touchdowns versus someone who is just a chain mover. There's a value to a running back who has a nose for the goal line because he can score points. Points are coveted. And so if I have a kicker that can consistently knock the ball between the uprights, there's a value to it, particularly if that kicker is automatic 49 yards and in and semi-automatic 50 yards out. When I was part of the Carolina Panthers, we went to the Super Bowl, and we had a kicker at the time, John Casey, who was automatic that year. And DJ, for the way that we played, run the ball, play defense, the kicker needed to be automatic because the way that we played the game, every time we got to the 35-yard line, we said, that's automatic points. Mm-hmm. Automatic points. So once we got to the 35, no more chances. Jake Delhomme, nope. We just go run it, and kick. And we won a ton of games like that. So there is absolutely a value to having an automatic kicker because it ensures that you're getting points, especially if they have long distance range. 50 yards and in, that means, DJ, all I have to do is get to the 32, 33-yard line. That backs it up to the 40. Those are points. Cuts down the field significantly in terms of being able to score points. So, yes, I would do it for Justin Tucker all day, every day.
Yeah, people say, well, the value, you want offenses to go for it more, and this would maybe discourage you to go for it more because you had the presence of this kicker. I'm trying to find it. I've been searching for it while you're talking here because somebody posted, like, some of his numbers, and it's, like, what he's done in terms of in final 2 minutes of games, his percentage, over 50 yards, his percentage. Like, it's just, it's insane. He's been consistent throughout his entire career. So let me add
this while you're looking for that. Yeah. Because here's the thing. Justin Tucker went to Texas. So a few years ago, I wrote about him. And what I did is I called some of the people that were at Texas when he was there. My strength coach, Mad Dog Madden, was there with him. And they gave me a little bit of who he is and what he is. First thing they talked about, swagger. He has a football player mentality. When we talk about kickers, sometimes we always describe them as, oh, they can be a little odd, they're a little different. My guys at Texas told me, nope, he had legitimate swagger. He approached the game like a real football player. They said he did everything he wanted position players to do. He worked hard. He was smart. He was technical when it came to his craft. He understood the mechanics of kicking, but he didn't overthink it. He simply lined up and made big kicks. And then I think Justin Tucker made this point a few years ago on Dan Patrick's show when he talked about the value of kickers. He said, a lot of people have this stigma that kickers aren't real football players. If you look at every team in football and look at the box score of each of their games and add it all up, the kicker is probably the leading scorer. In a game where points win, you want a guy scoring points. As the game evolves, you definitely will see a kicker being the more integral part of the game. That was back in 2016 when he made that comment.
Well, it's so hard to find a good kicker, man. And so, like, I think Jay Feely was surprisingly was against it. He said, no, he wouldn't do it. And he said, yeah, I wouldn't draft one in the first round. To me, those are two totally different conversations.
Different conversation.
And that's why, like, to me, I think sometimes when you get into personnel conversations, like, it's different. It's different ballparks. Like, that has nothing to do with this. This is a totally different conversation. This guy has a long track record of being the elite, the best of the best. And then the point was, well, even as great as he is, the distance between him and maybe the top other, you know, 9 to 10 kickers is not great enough to warrant a first round pick. And I'm sitting here saying, yeah, nobody with a top 10 kicker would trade a first round pick for Justin Tucker, but right. It's the teams with a bottom 5 kicker with elite rosters. Mm-hmm. Here's my question. If you are picking in the bottom of the first round, you have a ready-made team that is loaded, mm-hmm. but you have a major hole at that spot. And this tells you right now, this is the little final missing piece. And maybe you could say 99% of your success is attributed to the rest of your roster, but he's that final 1%. And you hoist the trophy at the end of the year, you have no problems watching somebody else select with the 32nd pick. I can guarantee you that.
No, DJ. And if you happen to be one of those teams that's accumulated multiple picks, you have multiple first-round picks, you don't mind auctioning off a first-round pick for a proven player. To me, this conversation is no different than what we've talked about, players over picks, what the LA Rams have done. I am willing to take a proven MVP-caliber player rather than what's behind door number two on a game show. I know exactly what I'm getting with Justin Tucker. I've seen it over a long period. His sample size is sufficient enough that I feel good that each and every year he's going to do it. DJ, was a 63-yard kick that he knocked down versus Detroit is a game changer. Because you have to understand, Justin Tucker not only changes the way that you call a game on offense, he makes you change the way you call a game on defense if you're the opponent. Because everybody is always asking from a defensive coordinator perspective at the end of game, where is the field goal range at? Where are they in range at? Where do we need to stop them from getting to? Well, now he expands the field, which really condenses your play call sheet. Am I more aggressive because I can't let them get to the 35, or a guy who can only make it from 42 to 45 yards consistently? Well, now that's 25 yards. That 10 yards matter in terms of how we're dialing up the coverage, how we're handling our two-minute situation. Justin Tucker opens it up because that Detroit game, I think Lamar Jackson completed one pass or two passes. He completed two passes. He hit a 25-yard ball on 4th and 19 and then came back and hit a hitch. They tried Justin Tucker out there. He knocks a 63-yard field goal between the uprights. That is huge. So, yes, I have no problem giving up the first-round pick for a proven kicker. Drafting one is different because you don't know where they're
going to be. You don't know what you're going to get.
A proven guy, I absolutely would.
Even somebody that's had success for 1 or 2 years, I wouldn't do it. But this guy is different, man. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's not for every team, but I guarantee you could find that one situation where they'd say, okay, yeah, this is, you know, this can get us to where we need to be. It's the final piece. And I can go through and I can find you. Lamar Jackson was the 32nd, you know, pick. Mm-hmm. I can find you, you know, home run picks there. But I can also look through, like, let's go back to 2020. You tell me, would you trade? These are the 29th. The 29th pick was Isaiah Wilson, who's on his third team. The 30th pick was Noah Igbinoghene with the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. The 31st pick was Jeff Gladney. Mm-hmm. And then the 32nd pick was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Okay. 2019, the 29th pick was LJ Collier. The 30th pick was DeAndre Baker. The 31st pick was Caleb McGarry. The 32nd pick was N'Keal Harry. Like,
when you start putting,
who has more impact on your team with those guys or Tucker?
When you start putting names with picks, then it changes the way that you look at it. When you rattled off those eight names in terms of who was picked 29 through 32, it changes because DJ, I'll give you four of those guys for Justin Tucker. You can take all of them. You can take all those guys and give me Justin Tucker, and I would be okay with that. So, yes, when you begin to associate names and who actually is picked versus what you would be bringing over, yes, it makes sense. And once again, I go back to the Rams model for how they build a team when they gave up two first round picks to get Jalen Ramsey or what they gave up for Matthew Stafford. I'm fine. The player.
Go pull up the names. Yes. Like, I think that was, I'm pretty sure that was like Caleb McGarry was one of the players involved there. Like, when you start pulling up the names and you're like, wait a second, if we did this today, no way would you trade Jalen Ramsey for what the return was with those picks. Not in a million years.
Right. And so that's the thing. And I think that's what you have to understand. It is nice in fantasy land to hoard all of these picks. The hardest thing to do is determine picks in the players.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think I get the argument of the value, positional value. And that to me is with the unknown of the draft. Heck no, I'm not taking a kicker in the first round. I'm not taking a kicker in the first three rounds. No chance. Because there's just, it's an unknown. This dude is a known. I mean, he is a long track record. And
I mean, you can think about kickers the way that, I mean, people talk about franchise quarterbacks. I mean, kickers can do this into their 40s. If they're, I mean, Adam Vinatieri was old and gray and all of that other stuff still kicking. Then it fell off at the end. But, I mean, you talk about having a 20-year run. If you have a really good kicker that takes care of his body, man, that's invaluable. Yeah. I think Justin Tucker could probably kick for another 8 to 9 years. I would give up a first-round pick for that kind of longevity and stability at the position.
Yeah. No, and I mean, look, you can go through and I can find, you know, Lamar Jackson was the 32nd pick. I know TJ Watt was picked right down there. This year there was some good players picked down there. I'm not acting like you're not going to find great players there, but there's a lot of other misses. That's a coin flip. This is you know exactly what kind of value you're getting here with that player. So, for everybody, but I could make a strong argument it's for somebody.
It is absolutely not for everybody, but you definitely can make a strong argument. And you made an argument that he is an MVP caliber player. The only kicker to be an MVP was Mark Mosley, strike shortened season in 1982 when he knocked him down.
Yeah. So anyways, I thought it was a fun discussion. Twitter went off on that, so they had fun with it. I thought it was a good topic. All right. I want to get to my thoughts and your thoughts on Tom Brady and how he can keep this thing going. We're going to do that right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, Buck. So Tom Brady is having another MVP caliber year. I think his numbers actually are beyond the numbers in previous MVP seasons. So he's playing at a ridiculously high level. It doesn't get a lot of attention, I think, probably because, you know, absolutely his worst game of the year was the one everybody watched going back up to New England. And nobody really pays attention to the rest of their games. Just haven't been in any marquee games. So his performance has gone a little bit under the radar. But he's playing as well as he's ever played. And it got me thinking, you know, what do they need to do? What does Jason Light need to do roster-wise? They've done a great job thus far, but how do they keep this thing rolling into the future to maybe they can get Tom Brady to age 50? Who knows the way he's playing?
No, I think roster-wise, here's what they need to do, because I worry about what they're doing right now with him. I worry about Tom Brady falling off at the end of the season because of usage. I'm worried about the number of attempts. I'm worried about the yards that he's racking up and all that. I just think you want to kind of preserve him. You know, he should be the guy in the glass, you know, like we only break out when needed. And so the first thing the Buccaneers need to do is they need to make sure they beef up their running game so they're able to run the football and take some of the pressure off him. I love all the weapons that they have on the outside, but the easiest way to alleviate some of the pressure on Tom Brady is to be able to call some plays where he can turn around and hand it off and have success 4 and 5 yards a carry. So that is always making sure that you have a top-notch running back. You keep the offensive line intact, where you're always fortifying the pieces in front of him so you can run the football effectively and make the game very easy. Secondly, obviously, you need to have pass catchers and playmakers, guys who, as we would say, are catch-and-run specialists, guys who can catch it, scoot, and go. So you can play the dink-and-dunk game that he prefers at this stage of his career. And then I think the final thing is, of those pass catchers, you need to have someone that can control the middle of the field as a tight end. We've seen the affinity that he has for his tight end, Rob Gronkowski. I always want to make sure that he has someone with that kind of skill set in the middle of the field. I know we're talking about chasing unicorns and Rob Gronkowski, but I want to make sure he always has one or two talented tight ends so that he can throw the ball over the middle of the field. It's the easiest throw for quarterbacks, and then he's fine.
Yeah, you know, I think some of it is kind of keeping that infrastructure in place around him. The nice thing is when you've got, you know, Bruce Arians kind of is the offensive head of that team. Byron Leftwich has done a wonderful job there. You got to imagine Leftwich is going to get a job here. So I don't anticipate he's going to be around much longer. But with Arians, you know, having that offensive influence, he's going to be there. So that's stability. Clyde Christensen is, you know, for veteran quarterback coach. Clyde, I don't think has, you know, I want to speak for him, but I don't think he has a desire to be a head coach. So he's not going anywhere. So you're going to have that infrastructure in place for him. I think the offensive line, man, it's one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. I think you hit it though. pay those guys and keep reinforcing it. Just keep that rolling and invest in that offensive line with him, because even as they have so many weapons and they're so good, they could afford even to, you know, if one mm-hmm. of those guys, if Chris Godwin or Mike Evans or Antonio Brown, if they lost one of those guys, they'd be fine. But I think they do need to continue to fortify that offensive line, because Brady's going to make all the skill guys better just by the way that he plays. But I think that's a key to me. It's just don't let the offensive line fall off. And it doesn't look like there's any signs of it. But I think you've got to, with Tom Brady, invest there maybe more so than any other team.
Yeah, I think you have to do that. And I think you have to continue to invest in that. You talk about the offensive line being a big part of it. It is the biggest part of it, because older quarterbacks don't want to get hit. And they're not as mobile. So you got to make sure that you keep the pocket clean right in front of him. And so a lot of times when we talk about positions in terms of the priority and how we prioritize them, normally guards kind of fall down below. I think for Tom Brady, though, you need to ensure that you're getting top-notch guards, because for him, he wants to operate right in the middle of the pocket. So mm-hmm. he is in the eye of the storm. And the only way you can make sure that he is able to throw comfortably from the eye of the storm is to make sure that the center and the two guards right in front of him are stout and sturdy. And so the investment is not only in the tackles, but you need to make sure that you have A-level guards.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think it when you look at that and you say, okay, you have the offensive line, you have that run game, especially strong up in the interior, the way he's playing, I guess it'll be a good litmus test. You mentioned, you know, is the usage an issue? We'll see as we come down to the end of the year. But man, if he somehow maintains this level, man, it doesn't look like he's slowing down at all, man. He's playing the best he's ever played. It's insane.
I know it is insane. I just worry about load management. I worry about him down the stretch. Now, I believe he did a great thing when he moved from New England to Tampa, not just because of all the other stuff, but because of the weather. So now he doesn't have to worry about those cold weather games. He doesn't have to worry about the ball not flying as far because, you know, cold weather knocks the ball down. It doesn't, you know, you can't push it down the field. But now he's playing in warm, inclement conditions. He's assured of having 10 or 11 games in warm weather environments just because of his home stadium and that of the division in which he plays. Things are lined up for him. So, I mean, there's a reason why old people retire down in Florida. He certainly joined the trend so he could go and have a lot of success as he hits the twilight of his career.
Yeah. No, it's, man, what a fun job, though, for Jason Light to have, you know, Tom Brady at this point in time in his career, and really, you know, you kind of get a chance to preserve his legacy and build off of his legacy. And, you know, we talked about it a lot the week of that New England game, but, you know, the conversation with him and Coach Belichick, he's in a position to have a lot more success in the next few years than Coach Belichick is. So
I know, man. And a lot of the success that I used to attribute to Coach Belichick, he certainly does deserve some, but man, when you talk about not only just what Brady was able to do on the field, but I think that the culture thing might matter more, that your best player was willing to acquiesce to demands of the coach. That was a very demanding program, because Tom Brady bought in, everybody else bought in. And I wonder if the New England Patriots are going to be the NFL's version of the San Antonio Spurs, mm-hmm. where when Tim Duncan left, everything fell apart. And even though we celebrated the greatness of Greg Popovich, he has not been able to put Humpty Dumpty back together. Will Bill Belichick have the same thing, where Humpty Dumpty just laying there with his legs, just but he just can't put it together? Because maybe, and I'm guilty of this, maybe we should have given Tom Brady more credit for just holding it together as the leader of the team, much like Tim Duncan did in San Antonio for years.
No doubt. And before we move on and get to Coach Chadwell in that interview, a couple things that I came up with that I found fascinating digging through all the next gen numbers for this Thursday night game, looking at the Bucs offense. You know, we've talked about with Coach Billick going back, gosh, 10 plus years, and we've been having these conversations, Buck, about the basketball team with wide receivers, mm-hmm. building the different skill sets. Man, it shows itself up in the next gen numbers, because Mike Evans is that power forward. They isolate him more than any other receiver in the NFL. So mm-hmm. they get him in 3-by-1s and get him all by himself one-on-one. He's got 9 touchdowns when he's been isolated over the last 2 years. That's 4 more than any other player in the league. They do it a lot once they get inside the red zone, and they just find those one-on-one matchups, and they just let him be big. Like, just be big. That's all you got to do. Be big. So he's a power forward. Then you look at Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown and his just release, is the second high. He's got the second fastest release in the league. So how is that calculated? Well, that's getting to top speed within 1 second. So he gets to 8.93 miles per hour within 1 second. So he's got that suddenness, that burst, that point guard. He gives you that action. 45% of his routes have been either goes, hitch, or hitches. So he's got goes 29% of the routes. And so to me, it's just interesting kind of how that speed has to be honored and respected. So he kind of is that point guard. And then you get to, okay, who's kind of the all-around player? I guess what would we make this, like a shooting guard or a small forward? Mm-hmm. But that's Godwin. Godwin runs every kind of route imaginable. So his route tree is much more diverse than anybody else in their group. So I thought that was pretty fascinating how he's used.
So when I look at this, and I'm writing this down, I think what you just described to me a little bit, in a way, I'm looking at maybe a version of the Brooklyn Nets, where I have Mike Evans as Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. the ISO guy that you get the ball to on the block. You get out the way, you let him go and work. Yep. You have Antonio Brown acting as Kyrie, the scoring point guard who can go get buckets whenever mm-hmm. he needs to, one-on-one. You cannot stay in front of him.
Too quick. Yeah,
too quick. And then you have Chris Godwin, who I guess is acting as James Harden, who mm-hmm. can kind of do it all because his role changes based on what the team needs. If he needs to go and get 30, he can put up a 30 burger. If he needs to go and give you 15 assists, he can do all of those things. And so when you think about how they're using their version of a basketball team, man, they have a lot of weapons and they can attack you in a variety of different ways.
Here's the number. I found the number on Godwin for you here. So Godwin has gained 150 plus yards on 9 different routes since 2019. So he's got 425 yards on posts. He's got 386 yards outs, 330 yards on hitches, 289 yards on screens, 267 yards on crossers, 259 yards on goes, 181 yards on corners, 174 yards on in routes, and 168 yards on slants. So he's got everything open to him, which is kind of fascinating. You think of all the weapons they have. He's clearly the most complete receiver that they have is Godwin, who's running everything. Whereas you're going to isolate like we've been talking about with Mike, and then you're going to let Antonio Brown just be the blur, you know.
He is the blur. Ooh, I think.
Isn't that fascinating? I thought that was really interesting. That's why, like, the next gen stuff's fascinating to me. Like, you dig into it, you really kind of get a picture. It puts numbers to some of your thoughts.
Yeah, I think you created a little notebook item. That's a good one.
Yes, I got a notebook. I love what
I think that is fascinating. I think it's fascinating about Chris Godwin in the 9 different routes. Like, to me, that is bananas, because that is a very complete wide receiver. From a defensive back standpoint, when we do the breakdown, DJ, old school wise, you know, because you have the next gen stats, we used to sit there and have to do the route tree.
Chart them.
So yeah. What you would do is you would chart every route that a receiver ran, and you would make a red dot on those that were catches. You make an open circle on those that were incomplete. And what you would get is kind of like this graph where you could just see where they catch the ball and where they're getting all their thing. Chris Godwin would be all over the map.
Yeah.
Mike Evans would be in one isolated spot where he's only doing a handful of things. And then Antonio Brown, very, very similar. And what you do is you build your defensive plan to stop where the ball is going and to whom. And so, that's why the Buccaneers are so tough, because Chris Godwin may disappear game to game in terms of like his utilization, but he's always a prominent part because he can do everything. And he's kind of the glue to the receiver core because he is the stable guy that can do everything.
Yeah. And you think about it, like, one of the things I was thinking of, okay, you know, they want to go to Mike when they get in those isolated opportunities, isolated situations. So to me, if you're looking at it defensively, you probably have a pretty good idea based off leverage. And I watched all the cutups of all these plays. His route is going to be determined by the leverage of the corner. So in other words, if I'm going to play inside leverage and you're soloed up, especially down the red zone, you're going to get fade ball after fade ball after fade ball. Mm-hmm. So you have to decide which route are you more comfortable trying to defend? Is it going to be the slant? Is it going to be the fade? Like, those are pretty much the big two that you're going to get down there. So to me, I can say, okay, I can spend the whole week saying, okay, we're going to be in this leverage, And guess what you're going to do in practice all week? You're just going to defend one fade ball after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. Like, because then you can kind of somewhat determine what's coming mm-hmm. your way. Now, whether or not you can do anything about it, I mean,
that's a different that's thing. A challenge. But from a preparation standpoint, that gives you a chance, right? To know here's where the ball is probably going. Because it's about eliminating things. Yeah. You know, it's probability. So, okay, well, now it's 3-1-1 situation. Mike Evans is on the backside. What are we thinking? Slant, dig, comeback. Well, I can throw out all the other stuff because here are the routes that he runs and here's where he's getting his catches.
Yeah.
To me, that's smart. And that's what you'll hear smart coordinators always talk about, eliminating the things that they don't do, focusing on the top two or three things that they do and making sure we take care of that. And we will react to the other stuff. Let's react to the other stuff and make sure that we got it solid.
Yeah, I was talking to a coach the other day and talking about how an interior defensive lineman was getting loose and they were getting him a lot of one-on-ones. And the point was, we know we can determine a little bit by where we place our mic, where the mic call is going to be and where protection is going to slide. So you think about finding one-on-ones with Mike Evans and isolating him. Teams are doing that with their pass rush as well, trying to figure out, okay, how can we force protections to go in certain directions with how we line up so that we can get one-on-ones with our guys as well. So that's the matchup stuff I think is just so fun about this league, man.
It's about that. It's about matchups. It's about having the right players and putting them in the right positions where they can be successful. That's what the great coaches do, and that's how the great teams win.
All right, Buck, man, this is a conversation I think everybody's really going to enjoy. We've talked about it at the top of the show. One of the bright young stars in the coaching world and really just an awesome dude to catch up with. I think you guys are going to really dig this. Here's our chat with Jamie Chadwell.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
All right, Buck, excited to have him with us here. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time for us today. I guess the first question is, you come off the season you guys had last year, incredibly successful. How have you guys been able to take that success last year and build on it this season?
Well, I think the big challenge we had was we have a lot of people coming back and you worry about complacency. You think you just roll the ball out and you're good. But our mindset of our team, especially the super seniors that came back, is they still got something to prove and a chip on their shoulder. And we're off to a great start. We obviously know our schedule is getting tougher as we go forward. But their mentality has been great, and they've not let our young players at all think it's about just rolling the ball out. It's about the work that we put in and the mindset we use. So I've been pleased with that as far as from a head coach standpoint.
You know, Coach, one of the things that we always are curious about is when you're a team builder, building your team to beat either the teams in your conference or the teams that you know you're going to have to place down the line. How did you go about doing that at Coastal Carolina, building a team that you knew that could withstand the heat of dealing with some of the heavyweights that you knew you're going to face down the line?
Well, you know, when I took over here, the teams to beat in our league were App State and Louisiana. And they're both built very similar to each other. And so our mindset was if we can put a team together that compete against those two, we can compete against anybody in our league. So everything that we did was to put the best our best team together to help us play against those guys and those type of environments. And it's taken us a while, obviously, to get there. But we figured if you take your top best teams and you build your program to beat those, then you feel like you'll have a chance every year. And that was our mindset when we took over.
Coach, our good buddy David Shaw would always talk about Stanford program, intellectual brutality was his phrase he liked to use with how they played. When I watch you guys, I just kind of, to me, it's like it's the brutality still there, but there's a creativity to it that you guys have added to the mix. I'm just curious about your guys' process. When you guys are putting a plan together for a game, you know, how collaborative is that? And where are you guys coming up with all these amazing ideas you guys have been able to put together?
Well, I like that Coach Shaw used. I don't know if we could use intellectual down here with our mullets, but that's another time for place. But, you know, we work together offensively, obviously, in a very collaborative of what we're trying to do. Everything that we do when we go into a game plan, the first thing we do is how are they going to defend what we do? Instead of looking at it the other way, we're going to run these things, and they better line up the way to defend our certain plays, option play principles. If they don't, we're going to be able to, move the ball. And then after that, then we gear up, hey, how do we want to get a matchup with Isaiah Lockley or Javon Hiley or whoever it may be? But everything starts from that run game, those key plays in a run game, and trying to force people to line up a certain way to defend it, and then build off of that. And then each week, I give our coordinators credit. You know, they get more creative as far as ways to, whether it's formations or shifts, whatever it may be, to hide the same stuff, but put our guys in positions to make plays, and they're having a lot of success doing that.
You know, Coach, I grew up in an era where option football was – I mean, we all grew up in an era where option football was king. Like, it was just the way you went about it, whether it was triple option from the eye, whether it's doing the stuff that you see Oklahoma do it. Why is the option so baked into what you guys do down at Coastal?
Well, I think, one, it's an equalizer. When I first started in 2009, I took over a Division II program that had 17 scholarships and a 36 scholarship elite. And so if you were doing what everybody else was doing, you won a lot of games. And so, one, it was out of necessity to try to win. I'm not a stat guy. The only stat thing I care about is the wins and losses. And so I don't care if it's pretty, ugly, whatever. You got to find a way to win. And I had experience with that in college. And I felt like, hey, this would give us a chance to maybe level the playing field. If I couldn't do it from a scholarship standpoint, how can I do it out there to try to give our guys at least a fighting chance? And then as you develop it and you go forward with it, you get better players with it, you still see, hey, it still helps you level that playing field. And when we took over here, from a scholarship standpoint, we were, 85. We were really only at 70 when we first took over. We made that jump. That 15 is hard to make up over a 3 or 4 year period. And so that still was able – allowed us to try to at least compete on a level playing field. And then as you go forward, you sort of stick to what you know, and that's something that we've been doing now since, I guess, 12 years, and it's worked with us. And so I'm a big believer. You got to change. You got to adapt. I believe that wholeheartedly, but I think you got to have some base foundation that you believe in wholeheartedly, and that you're never going to change. You might tweak it. But that's who we are, and that's how we live, and that's how we've had success, at least from a standpoint of building a program.
Coach, I don't know if you can tell, but Bucky Brooks is a North Carolina Tar Heel. To be able to share the screen with two SoCon quarterbacks right now, it takes his vibe and his energy to a whole different level, man.
Well, Bucky, I was on the bench. I was on the bench. Jeremiah was a lot better than me.
No, I was on the bench a good bit too now, Coach. We remember
correctly. So, look, man, I know all about the SoCon because when I was at North Carolina, we played firm and we played teams in the SoCon. So, I understand. I got a great deal of respect for the SoCon. I understand what's going on with the SoCon.
I kind of miss this. I mean, I'm glad to see all these, you know, the programs are all elevating, gone to this new level. I kind of miss the old SoCon days.
Well, I do too. Hey, it's good football. Well, you know, in this league, I mean, if you think about this league from the Georgia Southern and your App State, you know, they've run up the Sun Belt and done well. So,
Coach, I called Charger games, and Brandon Staley's gotten a lot of attention because he's gone for all these fourth downs. And I'm like, hey, Coach is amazing. This has been fun to watch. But, I mean, go watch Wofford back in the late 90s, man. They've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah. Hey, that's when it gets to the big level NFL, everybody thinks, oh man, this guy. No, it happens all the time at small levels. Nobody pays attention to it.
I want to ask you about this innovation. I guess it's not really innovation. It's been going on for a long time. But I was talking to coaches, they were getting ready to play the Cowboys, and Kellen Moore's done a great job with their offense. And one of the things they said he's done a nice job of is varying tempo. A lot of times we classify people as an up tempo team or people that slow it down. They said from a pass rush standpoint, you don't get in a good rhythm or a feel because one time it's 20 seconds on the play clock, then there's 2 seconds, then 10 seconds. I mean, he's constantly varying the tempo. What are the different ways you can use tempo, Coach, at the collegiate level to give yourself an advantage?
Well, that's an interesting take there that, you know, I hadn't heard, but that does make a lot of sense to me. You know, for us now, typically, if you look at our past, we're an up-tempo get to the line of scrimmage, but we snap it slow. You know, we've usually been very high in time of possession. And I think what the challenge is, you know, you get a lot of people that want to go fast as they can, and they don't care whether they're efficient or not. Eventually, they're going to get so many more plays and wear you down. We're sort of opposite. We try to be as efficient as we can. You know, the most plays we've ran this whole year, 63. You know, if you look at some other teams, I mean, 63, that's probably through three quarters for some. but we do have the opportunity if we want to go a little faster here or there, or snap it with 30 or snap it with 10. I think that's the great thing, the beauty of college football is because you get so many different way people use tempo. And I think if you look at it, there's very few now that actually just go fast all the time. There's a lot that try to use it occasionally, sprinkling in. But everybody's trying to be a little bit more fit. It's the analytics. It's the money ball thing, right, from baseball. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's something I think, truthfully, out of necessity, we always went slow because it was another thing. When you had 17 scholarships, you tried to keep your defense off the field. You know, and so you sort of fall into that. But it's been good for us, but more on the opposite end of being more slower and limiting opportunities for the opposing team.
Mm-hmm. You know, Coach, it's funny that you brought that up because one of the things I'm always curious about is like the complimentary football deal. And so people will say that to play great defense, you need to play less defense, fewer snaps. So what does it take to play great defense in today's college football landscape?
Oh, that's a challenge. You know, I mean, used to, if you hold somebody a certain number of points and all this thing, I think now it's based off stops, really, because as good as offenses are, I think you go in saying, hey, how many stops can I get? And I hope my offense is good enough to get, you know, more points. For us, you mentioned complimentary. I'm a big believer in that. If we're playing somebody that I know is explosive, I've got to make, we'll use our BYU game last year, right, for example. We know how good they are. Obviously, their guys, the number two pick in the draft, they have some good players. We knew if we gave them the ball a bunch, they were going to score on us. And so we kept it for 42 minutes. You know, that's complimentary football. They, our defense didn't give up any big plays that made them earn it. And at the end of the day, we kept the ball away from them and we got a big win. To me, that's great defense. Other times it's if a team is, you know, they're a high pace and they can score, how many stops can we get? I think it's more to me, more than yardage, more than points. It's about just getting a number of stops and letting your offense have the opportunity to score. It's hard to play with all the rules nowadays. It's hard to play phenomenal defense. I mean, you see what happened to Alabama this last weekend, and they're supposedly always really, really good at defense. Mm-hmm. It's challenging, but, The complimentary, whatever it takes to win the game, I think is the most important aspect of playing a great defense. And hopefully your offense is taking care of the ball and limiting your opportunities that you're out there.
Coach, last question from me, man. I appreciate you taking some time for us today. To get this program where you guys are, top 15 program in the country right now, what meat is left on the bone here for Coastal Carolina? What is there left to do here?
Well, I think the main thing for us is we don't want to be a one-hit wonder. I compared it earlier to Vanilla Ice, man. I love Ice Ice Baby. And so I think for us is we want to prove that we have lasting staying power. You know, you want to be a program that every year people come and say, hey, that's a team that's consistent. They play the right way, they play hard, and they're going to be a threat to win their league every year. And to me, that's what we're still building. You know, we had obviously the great year and we're off to a good start right now. But, you know, I think this story is still being written, and we got to have another good year and put that back to back. And then once you do that, then you start becoming a program where people know, hey, that's a program that's always up there that you got to watch out for. And that, to me, that's what I'm trying to build.
I said that was the last question. I need to follow up real quick. Did you ever see Cool as Ice, by the way, the movie?
I'm an ice ice guy, man.
Yeah, he dropped the zero and get with the hero. There we go, Coach.
Rolling in our 5.0 with a rag top down to my hair.
Coach, I appreciate your commitment to your team with the ball and all of that stuff. I don't know if I could go all the way out, but I love it. I know you guys love it.
I love it. I'm not even supposed to like Coach. I'm an App State guy. I can't help but like him, man.
I thought about not coming on here. I thought you might try to give away some secrets before the game.
No, Coach. Yeah. Hey, man. Nothing but respect, man. Going back to those playing days. It's funny to see all the quarterbacks from that era, right? We're in the SoCon. You all went on to be coaches.
Coach Napier's up obviously doing there. And so it's crazy. We have the faces for radio and not good enough to play in the NFL. So that's what we do, right?
I took the easy way out, man. I took the easy way out. Hey, best of luck the rest of the season, minus one game, Coach. But I appreciate your time, man.
Hey, appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Buck, he's awesome, man. The mullet is amazing. I'm always you know what? Let me get your thoughts on this, because you can talk about the traits of leaders, right? One of the underrated traits of leaders to me is self-deprecation. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think that's underrated. You can be confident and believe in yourself, but also be able to kind of laugh at yourself a little bit as well. I think that to me is, that's the type of leader I want to be around, is somebody that doesn't take himself too seriously. Take the work seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, I think for Jamie Chadwell, like, it is funny, DJ, because I was sitting there the early part of the interview and I'm trying to look and I'm like, man, what is that with his hair? Is that really a mullet? Am I doing it? So I'm glad he brought that up so I didn't have to ask him about the mullet, but yeah, no. His leadership ability to me really, really stands out. He is very confident in what he's doing. I love that he has something that he can lean on when he talks about the option system, but I also love that he is innovative and willing to allow his coaches to kind of push the envelope. When you look at this team, offensively, they throw a lot at you, and to prepare for them in a week to me would be a headache, a nightmare that you have to get ready for. But they're good, man. He's good. He's done a really, really good job. And you wonder how long is Coastal Carolina going to be able to retain him, because he is a hot name and he has a lot of things that he could offer any program.
Yeah, I think sometimes, I don't know if the grass is always greener. I know people say the level of play, you want to go test yourself against the best. But I mean, man, he talked about the fact with the number of scholarships they had when he started there. I mean, he was there at the ground floor of this thing. And like there's some type of ownership that he has there that he will never get anywhere else. So I'm sure, you know, they'll throw so much money at him, he won't be able to turn it down. But man,
I wanted
to not a bad life either, though, to just sit there and say, I'm going to coach this team for 35 years.
Yeah, because to me, sometimes, man, I think about it. There's some jobs that are legacy jobs, right? Mm-hmm. I call them statue jobs, that you take this job, you stay in this job. At some point, they're going to build a statue in your honor because of the work that you've done. Mm-hmm. At this program, he is in one of those situations where, man, he has done a great job with Coastal Carolina. And DJ, like, we all are very competitive, but the pressure at Coastal Carolina is, man, if they're relevant on a high national level every 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. it's pretty good. Pretty good gig. Just kind of hang.
I wonder if you go back, and I know Coach Peterson had success going to Washington, but if you could go back to all these guys at Boise that had left. And I think you could say the same before Mark Few at Gonzaga. But Dan Munson, these guys that moved on, maybe looking back on it, I'd be like, you know what? I could have just been at Gonzaga and won year after year.
Charlie Strong at Louisville.
Yeah. No, he had a great thing going.
Had a great thing going. They were with me. I mean, you know, like some of those things. And so sometimes when you talk about the grass is always greener, I mean, the check is big. Now, the check was big that you get, and you have to take that in consideration. But, man, sometimes you worry about the work life.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody asked me about a job that I had turned down several years ago. And I'd never given much thought to this phrasing, but just kind of my immediate response was, you know what? If you're happy, why are you looking for happier? Like, you're already happy. Why are you trying to be happier? Like, you're good.
Yeah. You're good. You're good. You found the right spot, the right people. You got the right support system in place.
Yeah.
Why go chase another thing?
Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, and so that's what's interesting about some of these jobs that have come up at the end of the year. Man, it's great. It looks great. Man, do I want to do all that work if I have something established? You do wonder about how many
you want to be challenged in life. I get that. You want to be challenged, and that there's something to that for sure. It's also something to say, you know what, I've done the hard part.
Yeah. I've done the hard part. I built it up.
Yep.
I don't know if I need to continue to keep doing all the building. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I look at the you know, the Gonzagas in the basketball world, the Boise's in the football world, like those are good jobs, man. Good jobs. So anyways, we'll see what he ends up doing. But man, he was fun to talk to and a great dude, man. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here, Buck?
No, make sure you catch us tonight. Catch us Thursday night, Amazon, Twitch. We're on Scouts Feed on Amazon Prime. DJ, myself, Joy Taylor, just having a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's a blast. I really do. I hope you guys will join us there. If you haven't already, drop a rating and review for us on the Apple Podcasts. We appreciate those. And remember the TV show. You can catch Bucky, myself, Rhett Lewis joins us every Monday, NFL Network. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, the Move the Sticks TV show. You can catch us out there. But anyways, thank you guys for hanging. I hope you guys have had a lot of fun. Wish you guys a wonderful football weekend. Enjoy it. The weather's starting to cool off a little bit. I'm heading to Baltimore for a fun Chargers-Ravens game. It's a great NFL slate. And we'll break it all down for you next Monday. So appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.